At Morning Glory, we never sleep. Connect with us on Facebook.
We begin every day giving glory to God. That's why we call it Morning Glory, and we have your Catholic chatter. So we'll share some of the tweets and texts and emails that you send us. With our producer, Elisa Murphy, I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
Good morning.
And our godly counsel is the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Parish here in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., Monsignor Charles Pope.
And we are joined this morning by Jim Jordan and Sister Evangeline Ingerson. And, you know, I want to tell you both, I spent more than a few years up in the old choir lofts singing from the Liber Usualis, which is the great compendium of, and I love chant. And but I want to say you're coming out with a new CD of Gregorian chant. It's been produced by Paraclete Press. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about that? And let's also talk a little bit about what's really at the heart of Gregorian chant. I have my ideas, but I'd like to get yours. But tell us, first of all, about the CD.
Well, this CD that, The Beloved Son, is actually the second CD in a series that's the entire life of Christ in chant. Hmm. That actually walks us through from all of these biblical stories of the coming of Christ through his life on earth, and through his resurrection and right up through Pentecost. So the idea behind that recording was that we were actually able to take in this beautiful sung prayer all of these examples that could walk us through Jesus' entire life.
Hmm. Amen. That's a wonderful way of thematically doing it. And yeah, as you say, just weaving it around the story of Christ. And it's thank you. That's a wonderful thing. I'm going to get more information at the end here of exactly how we can find these online. But listen, let me ask you both. Let me tell you, I think Gregorian chant, I call it singing in tongues. There's something, you know, it's been very formalized over the years, the centuries, but I think it began as a kind of an experience of ecstatic, almost charismatic praise, where those long melismas, they call them, where the long vowels are chanted. Is almost an ecstatic form of mystical and charismatic prayer. Do you think so, or what are your thoughts about where chant comes from in the human heart?
Well, I love that thought. I think traditionally we can see historically it came from way back even into the Jewish tradition of singing in the temples and part of their worship, and then early Christians would have borrowed some of that. And but I agree, it's a heartfelt, expression of worship. And I think the way that it's progressed these days, many people are calling it plain chant, whatever. It sometimes has given the impression of something that's become like static or dull, in as opposed to a very alive thing that's bringing the scripture to life and can be expressed very personally.
And when that terminology that you're using is absolutely phenomenal, because one of the things that we do here with chant is we also look at the ancient notation as well as the Roman notation. And that notation is actually derived from linguistic symbols. Mm. And when you said this mystical and really an ecstatic utterance, you do see that. Obviously, at this time of year, we're not going to be seeing the Alleluias, which have so many of the famous melismas and what they call the jubilus. But it's true even in the tracts that you do find at this time of year, because there's so much drama in the chant that has to spring from the heart, because that's where it is inside the words.
Well, one of the things that I was wondering, I cannot sing. And so I was hopeful that Gregorian chant might be a way that I could actually sing, sort of. But then somebody told me that, you know, you can mess up Gregorian chant. So what is it? What can somebody like me, who's tone deaf, can't sing, how can I participate in this?
I say you absolutely can do it. We've had people here who, in the same boat, don't, you know, have any experience in singing. And really, a lot of Gregorian chant is very simple and very accessible to everyone. You know, singing the Psalms is just basically speaking the scripture on a pitch. Mm. And the tunes are so very simple and repetitive, purposefully, so that we're not having to focus, you know, really hard on the music, but really thinking about the text, that you do it for a little while and it starts to get in your system. And I've even been with people who have said they were tone deaf, and sure as a whirl, after a little while, they're suddenly finding themselves singing right on pitch.
Oh, that gives me
so
hope.
So I say you can do it.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. Oh, I feel better now.
I've heard you singing back in the coffee room.
And you know
too
I'm
bad.
Okay, Brian is so generous.
For a rapper.
I know some singing there.
Now, regarding this chant, we call it Gregorian chant, you know, just kind of in a collective way, but there's Ambrosian chant, there's different schools of chant. How do you think we came to call it Gregorian chant, and would you want to just say a word about some of the other types of chant that are out there as well?
Well, pardon me, the name Gregorian chant came about because Pope Gregory was quite responsible for the organization of what we now have as our main body of chant that we sing. The different rites, Sarum chant, Ambrosian chant, have all kind of a parallel history to the Gregorian chant. What's fascinating, Sister Evangeline and I were talking this morning, about 10 years ago this summer, we spent 3 months with Dr. Mary Berry over in England, who was the great chant scholar in Cambridge, England, and she actually would send us off on projects to make comparisons of these various types of chant. Because she would say, well, let's go discover how that differs from house to house to house and rite to rite. And what was fascinating about it is the similarities. And then on one word, you'd have a little turn or a little twist. And what came about after some of that study and that work was showing how the chant traveled between houses, between monastic houses, how they shared it, but typical of those houses and their spiritual life, certain emphases were placed on certain words, and you'd find that maybe there'd be a little bit of change in the chant, a change in the direction of line. But that, there's a lot of similarity amongst those different forms.
Yeah. It's a good thing, you know, and you're reminding all of us, you know, again, we see it sometimes today as a very formalized thing, but it really did begin as a form of just prayer. And this is, I think, where getting back to your CD now, and as we begin to wrap up, tell us just a little bit more again the idea that you've wrapped these CDs around the life of Christ. So the first two CDs, what aspects of his life are already done, and where will you be heading next?
Well, this being the second of a series, the first one is entitled "The Coming of Christ." This one, "The Beloved Son," we're really working with the chants that lead up to Lent, and then Lenten chants that take us all the way up to the Triduum in Holy Week. Then the final recording actually begins with the chanted Gospel of St. John, the Passion, on Good Friday, the 30-minute chanted Gospel, and then moves forward from there. This entire set is actually already available.
Okay, great. And where can people find out more about this?
You can actually go to www.paracletepress.com.
Okay.
And on there you'll find a heading for recordings, and you can actually search the life of Christ in chant, and you will find it.
All right, wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you both for your ongoing and wonderful work. I just think Gregorian, or all the forms of chant, but Gregorian chant is really at the heart of the Church's liturgy. It's been there from the beginning, and the Church always commends us. Keep going back to that source. Mm. Keep going back.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, bless you, and thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for
having us.
Great to hear both of you. 26 after the hour, just ahead of Monsignor's thoughts on what we hear in Scripture today. I am the Lord. We have Elisa with some Catholic chatter.
Amy and Mike both wrote in regarding our conversation on poetry we had just a couple weeks ago. The name of that book is Shades of Twilight, written by the poetess Frances Sclafani. You can find that online. And we also did hear from Shelley, who very much enjoyed Gloria's musing last Thursday regarding the Disney issue. And she really thanks you for being on top of that. She actually prayed that you'd bring that up that morning.
Aww.
So thank you so much for writing in. You can find us on Twitter at EWTN. Email directly, morningglory@EWTN.com.
Gloria, you are often an answer to all of our prayers, so thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
And it is Men's Day, since every day is Men's Day.
That's right.
Lead us in a spiritual
Monday,
direction.
Men's Day.
All right. Well, listen, the reading today is from the book of Leviticus. And there's this constant refrain as the law is recited, I am the Lord. So, for example, you shall not defraud or rob your neighbor. You shall not withhold overnight wages of your day laborer or curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. And he, by the way, he shouldn't have had to tell us that. But and it says, "You shall not. You shall fear the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord." That refrain keeps coming up, and it reminds us that the law is not just written by some anonymous lawgiver, you know, the man or something like that. It's written by the Lord who loves us. He says, "I'm the one who brought you out of Egypt. I'm the one who parted the Red Sea for you. I fed you in the desert. I who love you." I'm speaking to you. So the law is very personal. It's a very loving thing of God. There's an old rabbi story that says, the rabbi says basically, I will tell you what this phrase means. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. It means this. I am the one who fished you out of the mud. Now come over here and listen to me.
Right.
So it's a beautiful attestation of the personal quality of God's law of love for us.
Our godly counsel, Monsignor Charles Pope. Thank you, Monsignor. Coming up, Mark Irons of EWTN News Nightly was with the president at a Catholic school last week. He joins us.
Catholic from the start, because every new morning is a gift. Morning Glory.
Morning Glory.